Lake Effect Onsite continues on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. We are at Latino Arts on Milwaukee's Near South Side in the Walker Square neighborhood. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Mel Miskimmin is a big fan of this neighborhood. The writer and humorist has called this part of town home for quite some time, and it shows in her writing. In fact, it'll show a lot in her next book, which stars her very own South Side house.
Miskimmin is also the author of two other books, Cop's Kid and Sit, Stay, Heal, and her essays have appeared in numerous places, including both national publications and here on Lake Effect. Mel Miskimmin, welcome back to the show. It's great to see you.
Thank you. Thank you. This is so much fun.
I know. It's been a while.
And you've only been on stage for like 15 seconds.
I know.
It's going to get better.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
So how long have you lived in this part of town?
I have lived here for, I always get this wrong because it was like right when we got married and I can never remember that. 35 years? Question mark?
Yeah. Fortunately, you got married when you were four.
That's right. Yes. Child bride. Yes. Yeah.
So what kept you here? What
well,
makes this
I didn't.
Like
I grew up on the South Side around El Verno College. That's another part of the South Side. And when it came time for my husband and I to buy a house, we were big fans of this old house with Bob Vila back in the day. And we thought, yeah, let's do that. So we traveled around the city and looked at houses, and we saw an ad for a house in, you remember those Home Shoppers that used to be in the stores, in the grocery stores? Well, we saw this house and it said partially restored Victorian double city lot, pool, and outbuildings. So we were like, yes, let's do that. Well, the outbuildings was a rusted shed. And the pool was a deflated kiddie pool that had been draped over the shed like a Salvador Dali painting. But when we toured the house, it seemed so desperate. It was like, come on, this is it for me. This is the end of the line. If you people don't buy me, it's just going to be aluminum siding, you know. So we bought the house, and with good intentions of renovating it, I thought it would take us like 5 years, maybe tops. Well, it's been 30 some years and we're still renovating, and I'm not a very patient person.
What is the kiddie pool gone?
The kiddie pool is gone. Yes. Yeah. When we moved in, there was also this wire wheel that they used as a picnic table that we made the mistake of putting out in the alley, which was like a siren song for everyone to bring their debris and then pile it on top of our debris. So it was, we learned quickly not to do that.
As Adam Carr said in the very seat where you are sitting right now, the neighborhood has evolved a great deal. Mm-hmm. What's kept you here? I mean, does it somehow, even as things change, continue to feel like you?
Well, I'm not a very patient person. So in the beginning of our renovating, I was like beating my head against the wall. Like, I wanted it to be like the next East Side, you know, with cute little boutiques of the way I wanted it to be. And so I wasn't allowing the neighborhood to breathe. I felt like I was forcing it into this pigeonhole. And it took me years before I finally got an epiphany that the authenticity of the neighborhood is what is its strength, you know? And I just finally, I don't know, I just came to terms with it. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean, like, you know, like you say, you grew up. I did. I grew up here in so many ways. So I love it.
How does the place feed you as a writer? Because you've written a few books here and more than a few essays.
Well, I think that in every neighborhood that you've been in a while, you get to know your neighbors. Maybe you don't get to know them personally, but you have, like, there's characters in every block, and our block certainly has its share of characters, and we've had our share of events that have brought the neighborhoods out in their pajamas in the alley because of some incident that we all bond over, you know, as we're all out in our various nightwear. But no, it's never been dull. We've raised two children here. I've managed to stay married. Oh, geez, I don't know how that happened. But I would not have traded it for any other neighborhood, because I sometimes feel that other neighborhoods are too antiseptic. I feel like I said, this neighborhood is authentic, and the people are fantastic. They are real. You know, and sometimes there's a language barrier, but you can always wave. You can always smile. I just love it. I love it.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about what your current writing project is and share a little with us?
Yeah, sure. I it took me 35 years, and I thought I had this story about, you know, us two young kids in love. Buying this old house and fixing it up, and especially in today's world where you've got this, you know, this cable TV where people manage to renovate an entire house in 28 minutes. You know, how is this with these astronomical budgets?
With commercial breaks.
Yeah. So I, if you would indulge me, I could read a little snippet of this new book I'm writing. It's called, tentatively called, Housebroken: Stories of Romance, Renovation, and Regret. That's my working title. Oh, and also it coincides with me meeting my husband. I met my husband and got married, and we bought this house like in very close proximity. So, okay. I had known him for only 8 hours when I proposed. He wasn't even my type. I had been attracted to men in need of major renovating, emotional walls torn down for better flow. I had assumed articles, "You Can't Change Him," had been written for someone else. But this guy, he was different from any other man I had been with. He was nice. I would say he was move-in ready. Lust had never lasted. Maybe nice would have more staying power. Did I think he would have accepted my offer? No, but he did, so we got married. Conventional 1980s real estate wisdom would have put the newly wedded us in a so-called starter home situated in a neighborhood populated with people like ourselves, not in a house with 13 pages of code violations. Minor details when you're in love. The house stood on a steep and difficult to mow without bodily harm hill, as did most of the houses on that side of the street. She was painted a dull and depressing gray. The unevenly applied red accents to her trim looked like she tried to put lipstick on while riding in the back car of a roller coaster. How had she managed to escape being smothered with aluminum or vinyl siding? Back when the bicycle was a newfangled fad, and electricity had yet to be taken for granted, and Benjamin Harrison was president, she must have been a real stunner. But now, she looked like an aging movie star on the cover of The Inquirer, caught coming out of Costco. Had this been an episode of This Old House, the host, Bob Vila, would have supplied us with a backstory about the history of the property. He would have summarized the cons: busy street, traffic noise, and then he would have rattled off the pros: lot size, convenient location to mass transit, not to mention Major League Baseball. He would have brought up the fact that most of the interior woodwork and exterior clapboards were intact, and then he would have told the viewing audience what the plan for the house would be. Total gutting, I assumed. He would have closed out the episode with a promise to see us next time. The real estate agent wants to know if we had any questions. Oh, I did. What made the claw marks on the back of the attic door? Whose idea was it to use indoor-outdoor carpeting as a wall covering? Who built the house? Did anyone die in it? How come there weren't any fireplaces? Had her beauty slowly faded, or had it been abruptly taken during a weekend reno frenzy? Were the mushrooms growing under the basement stairs edible? My husband Mark had only one question: how much? 41.9, the real estate agent said. See if they'll take 35, Mark said. I looked around. There was no Bob Vila, no Norm Abrams, just me and Mark. We were by no means experts, but we were a team, legally bound to each other for better or worse, till death. Hopefully the house wouldn't kill us. Thanks.
Mel Meskimen reading from her forthcoming book. Remind me again, it was a long title, and my memory is not so great.
Which one? This one?
This one.
Yes.
Oh, this one, it's called House Broken.
Yeah. I guess it wasn't that long a
Maybe.
Title.
I don't know.
There was like a part after the colon.
Oh, as stories, as just never mind.
Yeah. It'll change.
You'll come back and see us when it is out.
Oh, yeah, I will. Sure.
All right. Mel Meskimen, thank you so much.
Thank you.